All right, while we're getting ourselves set up, it's good to see everyone on Zoom. It's good to be together. We're excited to talk about marriage from obligation to celebration. And there's no magic here. It's just using God's word to help refine us and build conviction and learn the things that He wants us to learn to be better spouses for each other. And so we're excited for this time. Say a quick prayer and then we'll jump on in. God, thank you so much for your word that provides direction, correction, and allows us to build conviction. We thank you for marriage that calls us higher. We thank you for marriages that we enjoy, for our partners that inspire us and encourage us. God, help us to shift our perspective in areas that needs to be shifted so that we can see each other the way you see us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So welcome, 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 welcome. Wherever you are coming from, welcome. Or you're driving in from work and you flew in and changed your clothes like I did. Or if you flew in from Virginia like he did
I did.
and he's exhausted, we're happy you came. If you were at home and you just still in your pajamas, welcome too. We're happy that everybody's here.
Right.
Get a chance to spend time with you all as we look at all the faces. Your face is over there, by the way. We know you're there. We just see friends and family,
Right.
so it's just great to have this spend this time. We're excited about these Wednesday classes. So a set and an intention for tonight, right?
Right.
So tonight is not about fixing your spouse.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. Tonight is not about fixing your spouse.
Stay with us, though. Don't stay with us.
It is going to be about learning to see them the way that God does.
Right.
So we are going to start with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So if you want to turn there, we're going to be hunkering down on that scripture and using it quite a bit tonight. So the scripture says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal."
Yeah.
So we are called to focus on the unseen, the eternal work of God, and what He's doing in each of us. So tonight, we're from obligation to celebration. We will be talking about seeing your spouse through God's eyes. So, with that in mind, we're going to do something a little weird. And on the next slide, we're going to show you an image. So get your chats ready. We love emojis. We love all that stuff.
Yeah, we
Come
need to
on now. You guys will
engage.
come off mic and
Okay.
get, we love that stuff. So open up your chat. And what I want you to do is in the chat, I want you to put in the chat the first thing you see when you see this image. And some other things may come to you as you look at it a little bit longer. But we want to start with what you see when you first see the image. Okay, so you guys ready? Give me some thumbs up.
Thumbs up if you're ready. All right.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. Image. I love it. I love it. Somebody give us French fries. I'm hungry. Okay,
Go.
all right. Go.
First thing you see. You can come
Somebody
off
said coffee.
coffee.
We're hungry. Friendship. A car accident. Yes. Okay. Friendship. The girls. New York City. Girls hanging out. Smiles. I love that one. Somebody said the face of Jesus. A
Hey.
face. So the person that saw coffee, did you see a face? Somebody said Al. AI? Al?
AI.
A man with long hair. So all the people that saw a car accident and girls hanging out, are you questioning now the people that are saying they see Jesus? Like, are we feeling weird? A face. Yes. Yes. And smiles. Okay. So are you guys seeing anything different from your initial response? Somebody said, oh, snap. A weird image of a car. Yes. A girl smiling. Multiple girls smiling.
Right.
Yes. So now as we're staring a little bit harder, somebody said, where is Jesus? LOL. Is that Desiree? Jesus is in your heart, Desiree.
If you squint your eyes and look at it, you'll see.
So If you pull back a little bit, somebody's cracking up. When you squint with one eye, does it change your perspective a little bit? Somebody say it. Somebody say, ah, yes, see, does. Jesus is everywhere. Oh, yeah. A face as an eye in a car. Yes, it is a very weird image. But what's interesting is, right? You're the car. That's squinting. So, what's interesting is, depending on your perspective, you guys all saw very different things, right? And this is life, right? We come from different backgrounds. We're, absorbing things from our day, our viewpoint, our experiences. But we can always see different things, and your perspective will always influence how you see and interpret life often. And that happens a lot, right? Between you and your spouse. So, we definitely want to talk about that, but thank you for playing along. Whoever gave me French fries, thank you.
Yeah, the point that we want to drive here is really how perspectives can shift how we act, how we respond. And you got to think about the things that feed your perspective, your experiences, emotions, your understanding, sometimes authority or lack of authority. All of these things shift your perspective or mold your perspective, right? And so I can think of when Nikki and I first met 29 years ago. We've been married for 26. There were a lot of things that I absolutely loved about her. But for you guys who know me, my background is very different than hers. She grew up in a two-parent household, very loving household and taken care of. And that wasn't my experience. And so while there were a lot of things that I absolutely loved about her, I wasn't quite sure if she was a woman of strength, if she would persevere through hardships. I wasn't quite sure if that was in
I
her.
thought I was soft.
I thought she was a little bit soft. But what I learned over the years through trials, some health concerns, that this woman is probably stronger than I am. I have stayed home from work for stomach aches, and she has pushed through with many, many major surgeries. And so it's really shifted my perspective, having experienced that part of life with her. And so what I'm hoping to do is to allow us to rely on God's perspective and not as much on our experiences and our exposures and what we understand or don't understand about life and about our spouses, to really allow God to shift how we view them, view our spouses.
Yeah,
All right.
thanks. Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
I'm not really soft, though.
No, she's not soft. A little
Okay.
bit.
So, with all of that, we are going to talk about a lot of things tonight, right? But we're going to focus on a few in particular. Shifting your lens, right? So, really, as we looked at the picture, identifying, right, the perspective that we see things from and shifting, because we want to shift from our lens to God's lens. And then we're going to walk ourselves into what God's view actually looks like, right? We want to shift. We need to know what it looks like. And then what the view is that we currently have, and what's spiritually healthy for us to be walking into, so that we can all grow, right? So we're going to want to live tonight, laugh tonight, love tonight. We're going to learn tonight too. And then we're going to do a little couples activity, just to give some practicals, right? To walk away with, to really be able to hold on to. We're going to give you a challenge to walk into the next week as well. All
I was having a conversation, the next slide.
right.
I was having a conversation with a couple of singles, and we were talking about dating and managing relationships and expectations and things like that. And I was sharing with them that Nikki is my sister in Christ, right? She's my spouse, completely in love with her, but she's my sister in Christ, and I need to help her get to heaven. She needs to help me get to heaven as her brother in Christ. And what I was trying to help the singles do is shift from this group of singles anyway, shift from this really emotional kind of attachment that they're building toward each other, and start looking at each other the way that God looks at us, right? And so if you can turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at a couple of passages. And what I'm hoping that these passages will do is in some cases reset our perspective. So Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do." Okay, so keep that passage in mind. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Can you guys see us? Okay.
So we should be very familiar with this passage, right? We look at this passage when we're studying the Bible with people. Verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Here's my question. When you look at your spouse, do you see them that way? A holy nation, a chosen person, chosen people, a royal priesthood, having received mercy. If you started looking at your spouse that way, or if you continue looking at your spouse that way, would it shift how you respond in conversations? Would it shift how you think about their challenges or maybe sin that they're struggling with? Would you think about that differently? Because that's really what we need to do, is understand how God views us so we can shift our perspective. This is not about changing your spouse. It's about moving from obligation to celebration. We look at God, and when we return to God, it was a celebration, right? And so in our marriages, we should be celebrating this journey that our spouses are on back to God. I got a couple of passages I'd like for us to look at. Actually, I'd like for some volunteers to read. So, anyone, if you could read Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 12. Anyone want to read that? Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 12.
Thanks for sharing that, Nyla.
No take?
Oh, somebody's raising their hand.
Okay,
Okay.
go for
I see. Go for it. I can't see your hand, but I see that you raised it.
Oh, you know what?
Go ahead.
They can't unmute themselves. Here,
Oh, who is it?
let's try that.
Oh,
Here we
there we
go.
go. Christy? Okay.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You said Isaiah 55, verse. What verse?
8 through
8 through
12.
12.
8 through 12. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst in song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
Thank you. Can I have another volunteer read Isaiah 46:10? Isaiah 46:10.
Hilda.
Hilda?
Hi, I'm sorry, I had to switch.
Okay.
46:10. It says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please."
Awesome, thank you. One more volunteer, Psalms 90, verses 1 through 4.
Justin. Hey, Justin.
Just.
This Psalms 90.
90 verses 1 through 4.
1 through 4. Boom, boom, boom. All right, you guys can hear me? Psalms 91 through 4 says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night.
Thanks. The last passage I'm going to read here is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So what these passages have in common is that they describe who God is. And if we're going to entrust ourselves to someone, and we all have decided to make Jesus Lord, it makes sense to entrust ourselves to someone who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, right? It makes sense to trust a perspective that is fully capable, that is fully capable. It makes sense to trust a power, to trust a Lord, to trust a God whose power has been on display in his creation since the beginning of time. The idea that God is always present, that baffles my mind, right? And so if I'm going to shift my perspective and rely on a perspective that's not my own, I want to shift to a perspective of God's. The way that God views my wife, the way that God has set her up, that I need to start looking at her the way he looks at her, right? And not looking at the things that I want to be different or the things that I want to change, but understanding that she is a masterpiece in practice and that that is who God has set her up to be in his perspective. And that's what I need to shift my perspective to.
Okay, so let's talk to the wives for a minute. Are you responding to your spouse's behavior or their identity in Christ? So we're talking about how perspective shift changes reactions, expectations, and emotional tones, right? So, you know, when I first read 2 Corinthians 4:18, and we were talking about doing this class, and it says, so fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. I understood it in theory, right? Because, you know, it's not the first time I've read the scripture. It's like, okay, we're talking about heaven, right? But when I applied it to my marriage, it challenged me. Because if I'm honest, as wives, we often spend a lot of time looking at what's just real. And the truth is, what we keep looking at eventually shapes the way we think, it shapes the way we feel, and it shapes the way we respond. So here's what I mean. We start focusing on all the little things that frustrate us. All the little things that frustrate us. The socks on the floor.
I don't leave my socks on the floor.
Okay. The conversation, the conversations that never happen. The way he shuts down during conflict. Or the way he doesn't love exactly the way we envisioned. Right? And without even realizing it, those things begin to build a filter in our hearts. We stop seeing our husbands as the men of God who is shaping them. And we start seeing them only as a collection of disappointments. And when that becomes our focus, it's no surprise that resentment grows and intimacy fades because we respond to what we focus on. So think about that for a minute. What for you, it may not be the socks. And he doesn't leave the socks on the floor on the site. Right. So you in exchange it for whatever the little thing is that really bothers you.
Right.
And those things that happen over and over and over, even though you keep expressing, this is driving me nuts. How is that beginning to Where is that beginning to go for you?
Right.
But here's the truth. I had to learn that maybe you do too, that those things weren't so focused on. They're temporary,
Right.
right? They're seen, and God is calling us to look deeper to see what's unseen. So there's a danger in fixing your eyes on what's seen, right? When we only look at what's visible, we magnify problems instead of purpose.
Right.
We focus on the ways he falls short rather than the ways he's trying. We define him by what he hasn't done yet instead of what God says he's becoming. And let me tell you, the enemy loves this.
Right.
Has such a field day. Especially if I'm having a really bad day already, the things just run crazy. Because if he can keep our eyes on the temporary, he can distract us from the eternal.
Right.
He can convince us that change isn't happening, that growth is not possible, and that hope is too far away. But God is saying to lift your eyes higher, see beyond the surface, and look at what he's doing beneath all of this. And this is where we talk about shifting your vision to the unseen.
Right.
So what does that mean practically? It means we start shifting our focus. So instead of focusing on the habit that frustrates us, we look for the intention behind the actions.
Right.
So we call that the benefit of the doubt,
Right.
right? We're always talking about the benefit of the doubt. Okay, what did he really mean by that?
Right.
Because clearly he didn't mean to say that. I get it. Let me read between the lines. He had a bad day. I know he's frustrated. I know that's not the intent behind what just happened.
Right.
Because I know him, right? So you kind of have to take yourself to a place, right? And pull all that forward. Instead of labeling him by shortcomings, we speak life over his strengths,
Right.
right? Instead of wishing he were further along spiritually, we thank God for the seeds that are planted, even if they're still beneath the soil. That's okay for you gardeners out there, right? We know that life is still budding, right, through the
Right.
soil. You're really excited about that. Instead of wishing he were further along. Oh yeah. So when we choose to see through God's eyes, we begin to notice the potential instead of just the patterns,
Right.
the purpose instead of just the problems, and that shift softens our hearts. It changes how we speak, it changes how we respond, and it changes how we love. And so this gives a very hopeful vision for your marriage. I want to encourage you today that God is not finished with your husband and/or your wife. Even if you see right now doesn't match what you prayed for, God is still working.
Yeah.
And when you start focusing on the unseen, on who God is shaping your husband to be, it creates space for that work to grow. So I've seen it in my own life when I stopped fixating on what my husband wasn't doing and started thanking God for who he is becoming. It changed the atmosphere of our marriage, and especially for me. It didn't happen overnight, but little by little, love is replaced,
Right.
replaces frustration. God replaced criticism, and celebration took place instead of obligation, right? Which we may not call it obligation. Sometimes you're like, oh, I
You
gotta
feel
respond nice, right?
right.
I gotta say something good. Oh, my mom said, if you have anything nice to say,
Don't say
don't say
nothing at
anything at
all.
all. That tell me how that's working for you. But right, so that's what God wants for you too. So, sisters, I'll just say your husband is not a project. Right, is not, my project at work is very, I'm pulling my hair out right now. It's not a project. He's a masterpiece in progress. And just like God is still working on you, still working on me, he's still working on him. So I'm challenge you today to fix your eyes on not what's seen, but on what's unseen.
Yeah.
Looking deeper and seeing what God sees and lets the vision breathe new life. Because actually, it's not about ignoring reality, but it's about believing the unseen work that God is doing, even when it's still hidden beneath the surface. So, a question
Before
for
you
you.
tweet that question, let me just throw something in really quick
Yes.
before you get that question. So this kind of shift in perspective, You can't muscle that kind of shift. That shift in perspective is buried in scripture. I think it's fascinating how we can meet a stranger and with great zeal talk to this stranger about being a holy priesthood, being chosen people, or a holy nation, receiving mercy. But then in our own homes, that can be very, those can be very challenging perspectives, yeah. Right? And so I want you to understand, shifting to God's perspective is not something that's just going to happen like that. And we're not saying that we've gotten it.
Yeah.
It is a work in progress, right? It's literally looking at God and begging God to help you see your spouse through his perspective, which is the right perspective, right? Not leaning on your experiences and your exposures and your disappointments that often shape our perspectives. It really is allowing the scriptures to redefine how you see your spouse.
Yeah. Thanks. So what's one theme thing you've been focused on lately? And how might God be inviting you to see the unseen behind it? So I'm gonna have to answer that in the chat, but make note of it. And definitely want to start your prayers with that thing. We're gonna have more challenges later.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, you guys good?
Everybody's okay?
Can you repeat the question? Yes. What is one seen thing that you've been focused on lately? And how might God be inviting you to see the unseen behind it?
So unfortunately, we had a video that we wanted to share, and I don't think we're going to be able to share it. We're having bandwidth issues, Wi-Fi. But I want to explain the video. So it's a video on perspective.
Is it getting ready to try to play?
Is it going to play? Hold on.
Don't think so.
No. Okay. So it's a video on perspective. It's a husband and a wife. They just purchased a new home, moved to a new neighborhood, and they're sitting in their kitchen having coffee for breakfast. And they're looking out the window, and the wife notices the neighbor is hanging laundry up on a clothesline. And she makes a comment about the laundry not being clean enough. And so this happens for 3 to 4 days consecutively. And then, like the fifth day, they're looking out the window, and the wife makes a comment, "Wow, she cleaned the laundry is actually clean that
So nosy.
she's putting it up there." And the husband says, "Well, no, I just cleaned the windows," right? And the point of
Mario,
the video the point of the video is her perspective was just shifted because the window was cleaned. This is not about adopting, this is not just about putting your perspective to the side. It literally is about adopting God's perspective, seeing your spouse the way that God sees them. It's really fighting to bury the perspective that you have and allow yourself to see through God's eyes.
yeah. So, quick little fun. I love that you guys love that. I wish you could have showed the video. I'm gonna put the clip and I'll send it to you guys. It's actually really funny.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do something really quick and simple. So again, I want you to put your responses in the
In the
chat.
chat.
So I'm gonna hold up a piece of paper with a scene quality about your spouse. And I want you to respond to it by giving me God's view. So this would be your view. I want you to give me what God could be showing you when you change your view of this particular quality. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes, good. Okay. This is your view. Give me God's view in the chat. Take out the blur in the key. Hold on. Take off the
Are you
blur.
gonna see the messy house in the back? Don't be sending me text messages on my messy house. We ain't have time to clean yet. Don't look at that stuff
Okay.
back there. Don't look at that stuff back there. Okay, good.
Okay. Is it backwards? Tell me it's not backwards. Can you guys read that?
Can read it. So that's your view. Now, in the chat, give us God's view.
Somebody say, ha, no judgment.
Convicted.
He has conviction. Scroll down. I need you to, you need to monitor the chat when I'm holding this.
Okay. Got too many matches going on over here.
Puppy.
Try for now. Oh. Okay. First part. Strong-willed. He perseveres. Conviction. He has deep conviction. He's determined. He's strong.
Born with stubs.
What? Okay. Born with stubs. All right. He likes a challenge. I like
Challenge. I
that.
like that
Very
one. Decisive.
decisive.
He's determined. He's adamant. Very
Nice.
nice. Persevered.
All
Danny. Ah.
right.
No shade, Danny. All right. He
Confession.
thinks things through.
Okay,
Very nice.
that's good.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Next word.
I say he's got grit. I love that. Oh, can you see it? Is it?
Yeah, there you go. Can you see that? All right, he's distant.
He's meditative.
Meditative.
Yes. Who said that? Dahlia. Yes.
Thoughtful, has discretion. He's fasting. He's thinking deep
He's
sleep.
praying.
I love
Nice.
that.
He's reserved. He's thinking deep, deep
Very
in
nice.
thought. He's observant. Thinking about heaven. Yeah. Come
Okay.
on,
All right. The next one.
yeah. All right, now it's his turn.
All right, here we go. She's controlling. Deep thoughts.
Protective, yes.
Yes, deeply.
She wants the best for the family.
Anxious.
She's anxious. She's fearful. She
Passionate.
cares. She's passionate.
Discerning, I love that.
Nice. He's a
Ooh.
leader.
God's perspective, anxious, passionate.
Passionate. Nice.
That's
I
great.
love these.
Concern,
Aww.
caregiver, full of care.
I am full of care.
That's great.
Control too, but care.
Controlled care, organized, passionate. That's great.
Very good.
All
All
right,
right.
hold on. All right, so before you respond too quickly, I'm gonna caution the brothers to proceed slowly. Don't answer this too fast because you might get yourself in trouble. Just pause and then answer the question.
Okay.
All right. All right, here we go. Here we go. He's emotional. She wrote that, not me. She wrote it. She's emotional. She cares. Come on, Rice. Passionate.
Passionate. She's expressive.
Hey.
I am.
Compassion. Well, we don't have too many answers on that one. You don't have to
You
proceed
talk
that slow. You
slow.
don't have to proceed that slow.
She thinks with her heart.
You're all at
Yeah,
passionate,
empathetic.
empathetic, deep.
Her passion overtakes her. Yes, she's in touch with her heart. She needs an activist.
Getting in trouble, James. James, you're getting in trouble. She is very trouble.
Is
This is
real.
real. Let's
Controlling
go.
as well. On, Justin. Good
No,
job.
this is great.
Needs comforting. Oh,
This is great.
Danny says she needs caring. Yeah, Danny.
Come
Thank you.
on. Think
Thank you.
about how responding the way that God would respond to some of these words, how that shifts just your response, your attitude, like what happens inside, from going from she's emotional to she's caring. Like it just shifts the way you feel inside about the person that you're describing, right? And that's what you want. You want to look at things through God's perspective. That doesn't mean ignoring things. That's not what we're talking
No.
about, right? But we're all a work in progress. But God is, we have been made in God's image. And we're a work in progress, right? And so think about your spouse being made in God's image, yet we're still working toward growth. All right. Here we go. All right. What my time? There we go. All right. So now it's your turn to have a little reflection time.
Right.
So, what we want you to do, I'm going to give you, pause, I'm going to give you guys like 3 minutes
We got time.
to do, okay, that's how he says, we got time. Give you guys 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, reflection time. So, if you're with your spouse, you can, pray together, have a little reflection. And then what I want you to do is I want you to write 3 words or phrases that reflect your spouse's eternal identity. How does God see my spouse? All right. And then we're going to come back together and chat a little. Okay. How does God see my spouse? So write down 3 words or phrases that would like reflect your spouse. If your spouse is not there, have some reflective time for yourself. Some prayer time
And
and be
so
here.
write the 3 words. Yep.
Okay. And then we're gonna watch the clock and then we'll rejoin that.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick huddle. You guys go ahead and go to work. Write down those 3 words that or phrases that reflect your spouse's eternal identity. And then if you have courage, put it in the chat. And clearly you have quite a bit of courage tonight.
We'll come back to that after
All right, time is up. There's been some great things in the chat. Desiree called Ashton tender. I love
come
that. Anyone want to share? Any couple would like to share what they wrote about each other? Oh, we
Oh,
got to take
I'm
you off
not.
mute.
I am.
Sorry. Clearly, we don't do this often enough.
Okay. Just
I'll
put
share.
awesome.
There you go.
Okay, I wrote the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth. It's kind of about it.
Okay.
She's beautiful, not just how she looks, but how she acts, what her concerns are. She's perfect. She always calls me higher. She's always there to protect, help, and support me and his wonderful daughter, because I mean, he made her. That last one, that's just what God does.
Right. That's
And
awesome.
who's sharing? I'm sorry, because I can't see.
It was Jordan. You know the guy
Jordan.
who wrote like he's born with
Awesome.
stubs? Yeah, that was me.
Nice. Nice. Anyone else want to share?
Yeah, I can share.
Go
Go
for it.
for it. Hey, Kenny.
Hey. So I shared again, my wife is beautifully and wonderfully made. Just reminds me what who God created her to be. She lives in the light. She's in the light just like me. And then the last one is she is God's daughter.
Love that.
Yeah.
Lives in the light. Oh.
Nice. Anyone else? Someone's got a hand up.
Oh.
Justin.
Hello, hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All righty. So I put in the chat that God sees Yah as free spirited and trusting, giving towards her community, and overly thoughtful to strangers.
Nice. Nice. Okay, there's another one.
That's so true. Oh, yeah. The Garrisons have their hand up. Your hand was up, and then I lost you. Oh, there you go.
Here we go.
All right.
Dawn.
Don, you have to
Hey
accept. There
guys.
you go.
Great
Oh,
job on this, by the
there
way. It's amazing.
you go.
So
With Laura, it's just, oh my gosh, I don't know about the husbands out there, but how our wives, and Laura especially, just consistently think about our children or think about us. And I'd go through a day and a man just getting to work mode, like, da, 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 da. And then all the text messages and stuff that connects us and glues us together. Like, oh my gosh, she already thought about what's going to be for dinner for the whole week. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is all set up, it's all set up. I cannot. She is always so much thinking about our family, other people. She's just not self-seeking. I think she just think of herself last. It's just flat out amazing. Like there's nothing else to describe it. It's endless. I can't do a tenth of it. Like I just can't keep up. But okay.
Okay, my turn. Okay, so Sam loves the outlier. He is the person who loves the outlier. He always hopes, and his treasure is in heaven and in God's kingdom. Treasure. Got a big house there.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks for sharing.
I love that. Thank you, guys.
Geraldo.
You.
You.
Yo, I'm here.
You are.
All right, this was great. I forgot what I wrote already, but definitely my wife is faithful. Definitely a woman that has persevered with her relationship with God. And the other thing that I love about her is that she's passionate about just helping other people. She's always thinking about others. Something that for me, I can have a hard time sometimes, but my wife, for her, it just comes easier. Let's just say that. So yeah, and that's what I love about her. Thank
Thank
you.
you, honey. I love you.
I would encourage everyone, think through the fruits of the spirit and identifying characteristics of your wife that are eternal, right? And view your spouse from that perspective, through that lens, right? Even if it's not something that they are excelling in, but something that they're working in, getting better in, growing in, it's still a reflection of God and a perspective that God wants us to have of our spouses. So,
Well, Thalia and Timothy. Okay.
Thank you. And this is a great evening. We're very grateful. So Thalia is very generous, thinking of others, faithful, disciplined, and purposeful. She gets a lot of things done, and a lot of good things are achieved for both of us because she has a plan, and it's great to be her husband. It's an honor.
Oh,
So for Timothy, he's very kind and generous. He's constantly looking for ways to give and to serve. He's very thoughtful, and he has a continued desire to learn and grow. He's always, how can I learn? How can I get better? How do I want, he's never stuck in those ways or this is just how I do it or anything like that, but just a continued desire to learn and grow.
That's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
That was
you.
awesome. I appreciate that. I encourage all of you.
Very encouraged.
All right. So I love this. I want to thank you guys for participating and
Yeah.
for sharing. It really was very encouraging. Just a reminder, right, to continue to see through God's eyes. It's not denying any of our imperfections, right?
Right.
But we want to remember that we're God's masterpiece, and we want to fix our focus on what is unseen and the work that God is doing. So we want to give you guys some additional scriptures to use throughout the week. And if you want to take some screenshots of the chat, we want to give you a a challenge for the week as well.
A challenge.
I want to encourage you to speak one of your words that you wrote down over your spouse each day this week.
Right.
To encourage them. And watch how your language is rooted in internal identity.
Right.
And so that it can transform the atmosphere of your marriage. Yeah. So your challenge is to continue using those words, keep them to your spouse, and keep these scriptures close to you as you are changing your perspective.
Right. With every challenge, there's got to be an associated benefit, right? And so the benefit here in doing this and practicing this now is that when you're engaged in an argument, right? Those things happen in marriage, right? If you've built your muscles up around speaking this way to your spouse, speaking with these eternal words, these unseen things, it really will change how that discussion, how that argument ends, how you engage in that conversation. It'll shift it if we're looking at things, looking at each other through God's perspective. So let's pray and we'll close out and go about our day. Father, thank you so much for the scriptures that provide clarity and direction and allow us to build conviction. We thank you because you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you know everything, you're all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. And because of that, we can rely on your perspective and really challenge ourselves to see each other the way that you see us. We thank you for your love and your patience for us. We thank you for the gift of marriage and the way it calls us higher, and that you desire for us to enjoy our marriages. I pray that you'll season our conversations with wisdom and discernment, and that we'll think about things that are eternal. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Got it.
Thanks. Thank you,
McGinnis.
Thank you, guys.
Got it.
Welcome back, guys. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It was great. Midweek marriage retreat.
Yay.
Yes, right.
That was cute. Hey, Justin.
Hey.
Thanks for taking care of our son.
Oh, yeah.
Central.
Taking care of me, too.
Thank you, guys.
Clark, Ray, and Tina.
All right.
Hey.
Oh. Why is it?
Thank you to McGainies.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We love you guys.
Love you too.
Hey, Garrison.
Hey,
Laura. Sam.
Hi.
Bill. Hey, Tim. Hey, night. So good to see everyone.
Amen.
Good night.
Night, everyone.
Yeah. People dropping them.